Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history.
I'm doing this quick lesson because a lot of whites everywhere seem to be completely confused by the nature of society that we live in these days. And I find that especially when it comes to technology, that large numbers of whites think that technology renders our old methods obsolete. That between technology on the one hand and money, Jewish money, on the other hand, that all sorts of old methods that we have no longer work. And yet Jews coming with all their Jewish rubbish, like the Jew Stefan Molyneux, who made it his business to say the end of the state has come. States are going to be obsolete. They are not needed anymore. That science has moved on beyond the state. And money, for example, is another thing. Whites think in terms of finance, financial terms, and they think that money has become more powerful than guns. And so it goes on. Whites have become so confused by so many things, and all that's really happened is that the Jewish spider has been weaving his web, and the Jewish spider has been fooling people. And now large numbers of whites across the world, especially in Europe and America, they think that technology and finance and other things have become so incredibly powerful that they themselves are powerless, that there's nothing the white man can do anymore because he's going to be beaten at every twist and turn. This is really just Jewish smoke and mirrors. Take, for example, the concept of money. So we say money is the most powerful thing there is. Money, 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 money. It's all about the money. How much money is there in the stock market? Can the Fed or the reserve banks create more money? We need more money. However, let me pose this question to you. Money can only function in a state that is itself functional. You can only have money working when you are in a state where there's a banking system and it's a relatively honest system. You can only have money in a functioning state. If you were to go to the center of Africa and try and deal with those people in money, you would find that because of their primitive nature, that you wouldn't be able to do this. Because money is a product of a functioning state. If a state no longer functions, then money has no meaning. When whites came to Africa, the blacks used to use cattle as money. So that was the exchange rate, was cattle. That was the closest thing they had to money. If a black guy wanted to marry a woman, he had to pay for her in cattle. And other people look at things like the stock exchange and Wall Street or the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, and they think that, oh, well, you know, finance is going to be everything. But what happens when the money dries up, when business breaks down? What happens when those things are no longer there? What do you do then? Because, again, those things can only exist in a functional state. And then there are people who say, oh, globalism, globalism is the only way. We need everybody. We need all of the others because we can't do it ourselves. But the truth is that whites used to do everything themselves. We used to produce everything we needed in our own countries. Even in this age of globalism, if you go and you look very carefully at the world, then you will see that despite every attempt to hide the fact that states exist, the fact is that this world, to this day, still runs on states, even though the nation state is largely ignored and people think that it's just an ornament, a carryover from older times, that it has no more functional meaning. But you go and look at what America does. When the United Nations needs something done, how many things can the United Nations get done? It can get virtually nothing done by itself. Everything that the United Nations does is enabled by states, mostly Western states. When the United Nations needs peacekeeping forces, where do those peacekeeping forces come from? They come from the armies of nation states, mostly Western civilization, actually. In fact, under many conditions, the United Nations can only operate when the United States government actually sends its army to go and do the work. That is really what is going on. But everybody sits around tables and they pretend they got power, and at the end of the day, somebody from America or Europe, mostly white people, from America or Europe go somewhere to go and kill somebody because some idiots sitting around a table at the United Nations decided on something. But the reality is, despite all attempts to believe that the nation state no longer exists, the nation state is actually the only thing that really exists in the world. And now what you've got is you've got all these blacks who said that they also want nation states because they saw whites doing it and they saw how well the whites were doing and they all got jealous and communists and Jews came and whispered in their ears and now they think that nation states are easy to run and they also want in on all those goodies. The reality is that the nation state is really a European creation. It is a white racial creation. The nation state can be summed up as follows. It is basically a tribal organization of whites. It is really a tribe of white people who gather together and they form this thing called a state. And it is based on physical territory, organized in a certain way with a central government, and it has certain structures, army, police, health care, all those other things. These things have worked in Europe, they've been developed in Europe, they've been fought over in Europe thousands of times. These things are the result of white struggles and one state competing against another. And this evolution that took place in Europe mainly. Now go and look around the world. Go and look at the blacks in Africa. Go and look at the Chinese. Go and look all across Asia. And every single state on the planet, every single state on the planet is based in one or other way on models that come from Europe. Everyone, the blacks, the Asians, everybody is copying our stuff. But we were the ones who created it. We were the ones who evolved this thing over tens of thousands of years. That thing comes from the efforts of whites. And whites to this day think in nationalist terms. All white people think in nationalist terms everywhere. Because whites are used to this organization. Furthermore, this organization is the most efficient method of organizing us that has ever been developed. Every single portion of a state is something that has evolved over time and it has reached this level of development in modern times. And everybody is copying it. Even when it's completely unnatural for the blacks, it's totally unnatural for them. They're not used to all these weird structures. And they don't fully grasp why these things even exist or why they work that way. But these things come from us and it's ingrained in us. Things like the police, things like the army, these things are based on our evolution. The white nation state, therefore, is the most functional method of organizing any group of whites. If we organize in that way, that gets the maximum punch that you can possibly get out of that group of people, because you've got everything in there that needs to be done, and it needs to be done in a certain way, in a certain method of organization. And among the tools, among the instruments, we could say, of the nation state is the army. And the army's purpose is to defend the state or expand the state. Now let me tell you a secret about the Europeans. The Europeans were never truly a large number of people. Many times in the past, we didn't even have that many people on the European continent. In the time of the Roman Empire, when the Roman Empire was at its peak, the entire population of the Roman Empire was 60 million people. Rome was the first city that had 1 million people in it, and they had to develop new infrastructure in order for a city to even be able to function, because there are health problems when you bring so many people together. In fact, the only reason that these things even exist is because of agriculture, which itself is a white creation, a thing that has been brought to a high level of efficiency. So one of the things about the Europeans that you've got to keep in mind is Europeans were not always many people. Europeans were not drowning in rivers of money. So when we lacked those things and we didn't have the technology and the mechanisms for those things, how did we function? When we didn't have money, we made up for it through organization, an organizational structure that is a pyramid structure where we put people of different abilities in different parts of that thing, and it is bound together through discipline. Organization and discipline and the use of various tools is how we created our structure known as the army. And if you study European history, you will find that there was so much competition between these different white tribes that step by step, at every point, through a slow process of improvement and evolution, either in terms of technology, metals, or tactics and organization, step by step, we improved our instruments, the army being one of those instruments. These things evolved slowly, but these things are based mostly on extremely efficient use of resources, extremely efficient use of limited resources, whether it be men or money or materials. Our structures are extremely efficient. Now you get the Jews and other garbage and fools who come along and tell you, well, you know, you don't allow women in the army. You don't allow the disabled in the army. You know, you are working against all these other peoples. You are oppressive and you are sexist and blah, blah, blah. The key to it is efficiency. We don't have time to waste resources. And whites have always used their resources efficiently. So that's why we didn't bother with all kinds of other junk. But Jews and blacks who are parasites, and they're busy trying to climb onto our bandwagon, they're busy trying to modify it and try and get what they can out of it, especially the Jews, they come with all kinds of junk ideas that are inefficient. They're constantly putting a load on the system. But if you take away all these stupid, anti-natural, ridiculous Jewish ideas, and you return to a system that is natural for whites, you will also find that it is the most efficient structure for whites. The most efficient. You will find that everything in our culture, our discipline, our forethought, we're constantly thinking about the future. You will find that all of these things have their rightful place in our society, and our society is built on this kind of thinking. And this kind of thinking is totally natural to us. And we understand that we need the this and we need the that, and it needs to work in this way. But like I say, the genius of the Europeans, the true genius, lies in efficiency. Simplicity and efficiency, getting the most bang for your buck. When you don't have many bucks and you want to get the most done with the least. And nothing is more tried and tested than our military methods, I assure you. Our military methods and our way of organization works. It works through thick and thin. You don't need just the good times. It doesn't just work when the times are good. It works when the times are bad. These things are tried and tested. But what most people do not realize, most whites do not grasp, the clean, clear efficiencies that lie in the European methods. The original European methods are extremely efficient. We put men in the army because that is where the men function at the best. They are the best for that. And that is why we're a diverse race, where the men do this and the women do that, because everybody's got his task and his place. And we need the women there, but the men must also go somewhere else. So organization and the logic behind it is very efficient in white society. And all our old methods, things that people say, oh God, you were such a cruel people. You know, you used to execute people. You used to do this to people and do that to people. We did it because it was efficient. We didn't have lots of resources to waste in the past. So we made simple rules. If you commit a murder, then we're going to kill you. We're going to give you a trial, and if you're found guilty, we're going to execute you. End of story. We didn't have all kinds of other legal junk from the past. We had efficient systems, and those systems worked in certain ways that were tried and tested. And among the methods we used were things that were based on human behavior. So we go and we execute people for certain crimes, and we do it because we know that fear and a fear of death is a deterrent. Nowadays, Jews try to pretend that that is not so. Jews and liberals and communists try to pretend that that's not so. Those old methods worked. And we applied those methods to our own people. We used those methods to keep law and order in our own society. And it worked for us. And we didn't have levels of lawlessness like you see today. And you didn't need trillions of dollars, and you didn't need lawyers who are making billions of dollars out of pushing paper. Our systems were clean and simple and efficient. That is the real legacy of Europe, is efficiency. And you will find it all across Europe, and that is why the Europeans still totally smoke. Deep down in their hearts and souls, they still think like that. In America, the whites used to think like that a lot, but little by little, the whites are becoming more inefficient. Among the reasons why we can have enormous inefficiencies in the modern systems, where we now say, oh yes, we want disabled people and we want blacks, the very reason that we can cope with all these parasites that are freeloading off the white racial systems in countries is because of internal efficiencies in our own countries. We have developed a science, engineering skills, etc., that allows all kinds of automation and benefits that never existed before. So now you can put idiots in certain places, and those idiots can actually be productive because a large part of their workload is automated. A simple example being the use of cash registers, for example, in South Africa. when I go to these stores, I can tell you that if the power is off, those blacks cannot add two numbers together. But they can do it when the machines are on and when they can just type in the numbers. By themselves, if you gave them a piece of paper, they couldn't add those numbers up. But those computers are doing all the work for them. There is a huge amount of free loading that's occurring due to white efficiencies, white science, and white technology. And that is how we are able to bring all kinds of retards and degenerates into our systems, and they function. Whereas in the past, we didn't have those kinds of luxuries. So we had to make sure that if you did a certain job, that you had certain skills. And we had to test people and make sure that they had the skills, because we couldn't waste resources needlessly. You will find, if you look around the world now, ever since World War II, you'll see that between Jews, blacks, liberals, and communists, all that they've done is they've come up with ideas that are ever more inefficient. These ideas are inefficient and useless. And these ideas are wasteful, and these ideas can only function under modern technology. If you had to try these ideas 100 years ago, you wouldn't be able to use them, because we wouldn't have been able to use such retarded people in those positions. It wouldn't have worked. There are lots and lots of benefits that have come out of our scientists, out of our engineers, etc. And those things are automating and making all kinds of things possible that weren't possible in the past. And you've got all these freeloading parasites who are jumping on, and every idea that comes from these freeloading parasites, every idea adds more load and more inefficiency to the system. And the whites of Europe used to argue and fight with each other, and that in and of itself was also a method of progress. Whoever gets better at this beats the other one. And that constant battling and struggling between each other also improved the end result. All that struggling actually made them stronger. As the one beats the other one, the loser tries to win the next time, and they try a new trick next time, and so it goes on. The intense competition of the whites of Europe among each other sharpened their minds and sharpened all these systems. That is why the whites of Europe could go out into the world and go and occupy more than half of the planet and start ruling everybody else. It was because of the unbelievable efficiencies that came from the struggles and the attitude of the whites inside Europe. Those whites became ever more intelligent, those whites became ever more efficient, and they worked out methods that could beat each other. And this constant competition eventually made them so potent that when they went out into the rest of the world, they just conquered whole continents and occupied most of the rest of the world. In fact, they probably conquered at least 2/3 of the world at one point. So, you know, this is the result of the excellence of our people. And the one place where people these days think that we've lost out on is the military. People think, oh, well, armies can no longer function, that the army is a waste of time, that other methods are better, that money can beat the army, that numbers can beat the army. Let me tell you something. Nothing has changed. The army in and of itself is still an extremely efficient mechanism. And the army is very potent. It is a very potent organization of males. And that thing needs to be returned and rebuilt so that all armies that are in Western nations function in our traditional ways. Our methods work, and they work extremely well. Accompanying this audio or video, depending on how you get to see it, is an image. And this image is of a letter that was issued by Jews before World War II. This thing was declassified in 1981. The Jews, of course, being the race of lying scum that they are, they try to pretend that they didn't do these things. But this is just part of something that was declassified. And it is a special notice to all Jews, and it is dated, I think, from 1937. And it says, special notice to all Jews, the Central Conference of American Rabbis at the 47th Annual Conference held in New York declared for exemption of Jews from military service in accordance with the highest interpretation of Judaism. So here's what they say. Our Talmud tells us, when you go to war, do not go as the first, but as the last, so that you may return as the first. In other words, the Jews are just trying to connive their way. That was a term we used to use in Rhodesia. They're trying to connive their way out of military service. That's all the Jews are doing here. Jews actually nowadays say, no, no, this didn't happen, this didn't happen. But this is all part of FBI stuff that was declassified in 1981. The Jews of America were sending the white Americans to go and die and fight the Germans, and they themselves didn't want to go and fight the Germans. In fact, further down this thing it says, you are urged to support United States participation in this holy war of Judah without reservation and without fear. We can repeat our triumphs of 1918 if we maintain our united front. And the dumb Goyim, Goyim being non-Jews, and the dumb Goyim will fight while we profit with the aid of our friend in Washington. And it also says, support England and France, for they are fighting Judah's greatest enemy, the Goyim German state. So that is what they were saying about Hitler's Germany. They are fighting Judah's greatest enemy, the Goyim German state. Now you, who have been fooled by these lying Jews, you think that everything is better now, that we should rather work as a democracy, that we should rather work in this way and that way. What you are forgetting is that some of our tried and tested methods are based on efficiencies that work like this. For example, in democracy nowadays, any clown, fool, and idiot can get into politics and he can talk his total shit. And everybody listens to him. However, the original democracy that was invented by whites, by the Greeks and by the Romans, in that democracy, the only people who could vote and really take part were actually the military people. If you weren't willing to fight for the country, you couldn't get involved in democracy. And actually, that's a damn good idea. Because the only people who could actually influence the state were people who were willing to fight for the state. So you didn't have all kinds of garbage getting into politics and all kinds of parasites and retards getting into politics. And if I look at America today, and even South Africa, God knows so many other places, but let's just take a look at South Africa and America. If we look at our countries today, and you had to take these rotten scum who sit in Parliament, and you had to say to them, okay, you are making decisions for the country. Are you willing to fight for the country? You're going to see huge bunches of these scumbags running for the hills because they are cowards and they shouldn't actually even be in those parliaments to begin with. Many Americans refer to their country nowadays as clown world, which is a good description. We in South Africa, we're in super clown world, okay? Where it's even dumber than even yours. So returning to the army, there are tried and tested methods in life. And among those methods is fear and bravery. But in the modern world, you'll see the Jews, liberals, and commies have changed the world so that anyone, no matter what kind of coward, traitor, piece of garbage you are, you can get into high positions where you shouldn't be and that you really aren't qualified for, but they need to make it so that any one of their parasitic retards can get into those positions and so that they can function there. But if we applied old methods, even just simple things like executing murderers, which we no longer do in South Africa, you would see quickly how much fear can be generated out of little actions. And we forget the power of bravery on the one hand and fear on the other. And another thing that's also part of our innate thinking is that white men are good risk takers. White men are excellent at risk taking. The art of knowing how to take risks. White men are excellent at this. But these are very stunted things that we've not used in a long time. However, if we use these things, you might be very surprised at what happens out there in the world. Because whites, nobody on the planet is more adapted to reality than we are. Our entire thinking can handle every single conceivable thing. We can go from extreme kindness to extreme killing machines and every conceivable shade and color in between. Nobody handles reality better than us. But if you look at our parasites, the parasites that are sitting all over our countries, go and check them out. Go and check some of their weaknesses. And you will find, like these Jewish pieces of shit, you will find cowardice is quite a big thing among the Jews. The Jews are a bunch of cowards, a race of scum, born traitors. And they will even glorify themselves when they sit back and others go and fight for their causes, and they'll regard themselves as superior to the others. A race of true garbage, and they come amongst you. And how brave is the white man if he has to face the black man? Now there's an interesting one. And we in Southern Africa have a lot of experience with this. And I tell you that the white man, as a German friend of mine said to me once, he said to me, the only male on the planet that will fight when he's outnumbered is the white male. Because the white male has the intelligence and confidence in and of himself that he will try a thing like that. He has enough confidence in his own abilities to do risk-taking that he will try things like that. And most times he will succeed. These old tried and tested values of bravery versus cowardice, these things are nowhere more practiced than in our military machine composed of males. And the white males have to be able to control their own fear while imparting fear and chaos on the enemy. And that organization called the army, that is the greatest thing we've got. And that mechanism, if put to the test in this modern world of pathetic, cowardly scum, that mechanism can do very well for us. And white men everywhere do not appreciate this. Even the whites in Europe, they do not appreciate this. They do not understand their own strength that lies there untapped. And fear is an incredible tool. Fear is one of the most incredible tools. Fear is something that white men should work with a lot. Because if you can impart fear on the enemy is going to behave like a total idiot. And that is tried and tested. You can totally muck people up based on fear. If we can bring fear to our enemies, it's going to help in all sorts of ways. Fear as a tool is a tool that has worked countless number of times through all the ages. And you can go and you can see the effects of fear. He who can master himself and can impart fear on the enemy, he stands the best chance of all. But because we've become softened through civilization, and we expect a policeman to look after us here, and a lawyer to look after us there, and this one to look after us here and in different ways. We have lost our ability to think in survival terms. But if we went and tapped into some of these things, especially in the modern, super weak, super stupid, overloaded, dumb world, I'm telling you, the white male army, consisting of white males only, will be able to punch way above its weight level. If you had to get 10,000 white males organized and have them as a military force, those 10,000 white males will pack a punch more than you can believe. If they had to meet up with 10,000 blacks or 10,000 other non-whites, you'll see what they can do. As for them meeting 10,000 Jews on the battlefield, the Jews will be fleeing before the battle even starts. It's not going to happen. So you must remember that our old systems are based on all kinds of situations. Tens of thousands of survival situations, actually probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of survival situations that we've faced over tens of thousands of years. And these methods are tried and tested. And if you use them properly, I can tell you these things have got a lot of power. Even Professor Quigley, who I will return to because he writes about civilizations, even Professor Quigley made an interesting observation about civilizations. He said that if you are armed and you are physically strong as an army, you can attain wealth. Wealth goes to the strong. So, you think that money will determine what the army does. If the army can function without money, in other words, you just get men together and you organize them properly, who's going to win, the money or the army? Well, I'm telling you, the army is going to win. If you look at the Jews in World War II, how much money they had to pump into the US economy, they had to use all the industries in America, all the industries in Russia, they had to still build them up and even pass on things from Britain to Russia, America to Russia. You will see how much effort had to go into countering the tiny German state under Hitler. That tiny German state without money was smashing its way forward and it was taking on opponents that were unbelievable in strength. And it almost won. In the end, everybody had to climb in on Germany to destroy Germany, because otherwise Germany would have won. If they didn't all carpet bomb Germany while attacking Germany from every single side, Germany would have beaten them. Germany would have taken on any one of them alone, or any two or three of them, and smashed them into the ground. That is how strong the German state was. But the German state wasn't funded by Jewish money. The German state was run as a state by whites, organized in a proper logical method. And if you think that technology didn't work in that state, it is that state which invented jet engines, rockets, and a plethora of military weapons. Everything from the first combat helicopter, operational helicopter, right through to the first cruise missile, through to the first intercontinental ballistic missile. All of those things were invented by that state only. And that state was a state that had sanctions against it, trade restrictions against it, and yet it just used all the old organizational methods, along with white ingenuity, clever white guys, proper organization, and they nearly beat off the entire world. It took literally the entire world to come and crush them. People had to come from Canada and New Zealand and Russia in order to come and kill them and destroy them. That is how strong they were. And I will tell you that as science advances, the chances for whites to beat our enemies is just getting better and better. There are things that I've not even shown you that other military officers have written. Like, there's a fascinating book I have written by a British, I think he was a brigadier in intelligence, where he talks about how the Western world is going to fight third world countries in the future and their methods. And they literally will switch off a third world country. They'll literally come and they'll render their electronics and electrical stuff non-functioning, and then they'll literally just walk into the country and nobody will even know that they're arriving. And this is where technology is taking us. The white man's magic, his technology, is actually making us stronger and stronger and stronger. And although these other non-whites look like they've got countries, these are tin pot things that can fall down easily. And even Jewish money won't be able to prop these things up. The white man must not forget the power of our old methods, because they are based on efficiencies. And if we tap into our efficiencies and we throw out every Jewish idea that exists, you will see the power that we have. We've got tremendous power. Latent power that's just lying there. But all the white men of the Western world are too afraid to tap into it. They have all the tools at their disposal to smash their enemies apart. And they don't realize it. They don't appreciate the efficiencies and the brilliance of our old methods. And our tried and tested principles have only been strengthened by science. We can use all those principles. We need to organize like a military force again. We need to bring in our most intelligent people. And by the way, the Roman army, one of the greatest armies that ever existed in history, was an army that brought in all the men, clever men. The Roman army used intelligent males to go and fight. These weren't stupid males. The army is not about the dumb male. You bring all the men in. Everybody's got a role to play. And when they work together, they're a freaking killing machine like you've never seen. But I'm going to remind you, the key things about whites is that our methods are efficient, really efficient. And even in this day and age where you think, oh goodness, you know, none of those old methods are working, Professor Quigley was bragging about feudalism. Feudalism was the way the whites in Christian Europe organized in order to fight off the Mongols. And the Mongols were smashing into Europe, and the whites created this feudal system. And the feudal system basically boiled down to 100 peasants supporting an armored knight. And so this mechanism of how they worked together enabled them to maintain an army, and the knight was the most technically advanced weapon on the battlefield of his time. So Quigley actually goes on to brag about how well feudalism worked. And by the way, he also says that the very basic things that allowed feudalism to exist actually came from the Roman Empire. There were values and mechanisms from the final days of the Roman Empire that continued to be used by the Christians, and it evolved into feudalism. So feudalism, while the Christians can take credit, they mustn't forget that the very basis actually came from the Roman Empire. Certain things were inherited from the Roman Empire. Anyway, Quigley goes on to say that feudalism was one of the greatest systems, probably the greatest system in his view, that the whites created, because this system functioned in such a way with such efficiency that eventually the whites were not only just defending Europe, they were actually hitting back and they were able to push the enemy out of Europe. So he regarded feudalism as a fantastically efficient system. And it wasn't based on money. It was based on organizational structure. It had to do with workers and farming and various loyalties and things that bound them together. Now, if you go and you look at the white right wing, which in the modern time also doesn't have money, because Jews hate anything white like that, and they know that the white male is the enemy. So look at how whites are organizing in South Africa, in America, etc. And actually, if you look a bit more closely, you'll see that the way the white right is organizing is actually a form of feudalism. In fact, I can tell you right here in South Africa that the mechanism by which whites are organizing due to not having money is actually a type of feudalism. You can see the links and the loyalties and all those bonds that are being built. And it's actually a rerun. It's actually just a modern rerun of feudalism. Our ideas and our methods work, but we must just be ourselves and live in accordance with our values. And you'll see our values are absolutely fine. And our mechanisms are powerful. And the army is our survival mechanism. This is what we do when we're under physical threat. So we don't go and look for mercenaries and others. And those things are dangerous anyway. Hard experience has taught us that if you're going to defend yourself, you might as well do it yourself. That comes from Machiavelli, by the way, a good guy who's got a bad name because of Jews and other garbage. But Machiavelli, a great thinker, like lots of other white males, got a bad name. And only got a bad name because liberals and Jews and garbage came and misinterpreted what they were saying. But our systems work. And our systems, I'm willing to bet my own life on it. I'm telling you that our systems are going to work in the future. You think that our systems are going to be beaten by stockbrokers and other things. You'll have as much money as you want when you are standing and the dead stockbroker or the dead banker is lying in front of you. You think those systems don't work? Those systems work very well. Those systems work very well. We've just lost confidence in ourselves because the Jews have been among us and they work against us when we are busy organizing. They work to see to it that our methods of organizing fail. That's what they do. But I want to urge whites in North America and Europe, you do not appreciate where our stuff comes from, and you do not appreciate the efficiency and the clarity of thought that went into our systems. All our systems work. And the ultimate form of organization for whites, the ultimate form of organization, is a nation state. That is the most complete, rounded unit that allows whites to function, is the nation state. It is the toughest thing that works for a group of whites, and it's a very, very hard thing to break. And I will repeat, technology has only made it stronger. And technology makes the state and the military of the state, of a whites-only state, much stronger. So don't think that Jews, bankers, and all sorts of other garbage can beat the white man. The white man can beat them all. And they can only exist because the white man has created a functional state. The moment that state becomes dysfunctional, they have to exit from it. In fact, I've observed here in South Africa that non-whites have to exit from a country when the country is not functional anymore. They cannot handle it. In fact, they even break down before many whites break down. So let me tell you, don't you believe that the white male and his ideas and things that evolved out of Europe, that these things are no longer functional. They are very functional and very powerful. And there are many things we have that need to be dusted off. Among the first is the death penalty. If you had the death penalty for traitors and spies, you would soon see a lot less traitors and a lot less spies very quickly. All our old methods work. And those ones that are based on terror, they'll work even more. They'll work even more. Most of the people in the American Congress and Senate, just like the South African Parliament, the vast majority of them shouldn't even be in those places, man. They don't even deserve to be there. You've got a system that allows all kinds of degenerates, garbage, and parasites to function. Total rubbish, man. Our systems work. Return to our methods. Our methods produce a strong, rounded society that is hard to break. It's very, very hard to break whites when whites are organized in this way. But the men have their place, the women have their place, and the structure must be there. Then you'll see how potent our system is. Everybody still thinks that the whites of South Africa are totally fucked and lost. Everybody thinks America's lost. Everybody thinks Europe is lost. They are all so wrong. So wrong. So very, very wrong. Those countries do exist. It's just that they've lost their basic life force. The whites inside them, especially the men, have lost their confidence and they don't fully grasp the situation. They don't realize when the Jews and the liberals are busy working and pulling the rug right from under their feet. Every time they're about to succeed, the Jews are busy pulling the carpet from under their feet, and they don't understand why they're falling flat on their faces. We just need to make sure that we function in a whites-only system without all the other trash, and you'll suddenly see how our system works. Our system kicks ass, we will kick ass. I assure you. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.